Welcome to another edition of the False Cast, brought to you by the False Tree Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Today, with a recording, it's Sunday, February 9th. Go Owls!
Go Owls.
What?
For the Super Owls.
Is it the Super Bowl today?
It's sports ball day.
Yeah, go sports ball.
22. No.
That means we're going grocery shopping. Got it.
It is icy out there, so.
Yeah, it is. Very icy.
What a fun day.
The little icicles that are just hanging off of things. It's kind of pretty. If you don't have to go out in it, it's kind of pretty.
It's terrible.
And then you realize you have
in.
To go out.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah,
why,
the dogs don't like it.
No, because ours are bigger and they'll pull your ass over if it's icy.
Poor Toby's out there walking around like, what the hell is this? The ground's crunchy.
Yeah, it's crunchy.
Walk like a penguin.
I once had a boss who, she didn't realize how icy it was out. She went to take her dog for a walk, and she had him on the leash, and as she was trying to lock the door, he started walking and pulled her, and she fell on the ice and broke her wrist.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's terrible. That is terrible. Yeah, that's scary.
I've fallen on the ice two, three times in the last couple weeks.
Oh,
lucky all of them.
Ripped your pants.
Yeah, ripped my pants right in the crotch. Oh. Shredded them.
Oh, yeah. No injuries, though.
Giant hog.
It was really, really
out.
Cold after that for the rest of the walk.
Yeah.
Underpants were just hanging out. I was like, it's cold.
Yes, it was cold.
One nut hanging
still
out.
Still had to go potty.
It's cold.
Yeah. Poor Steve. Talk about shrinkage.
I got a second belly button.
Cover.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well. Oh, winter in Ohio. It's fun.
The gang's all here today.
Yay, we are.
On this episode.
We got quiet.
How do we doodly do?
Hi.
Are we?
We're alive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
On this episode, we'll have an interview with Jim Woods.
Yay.
Suzanne and Mike interviewed him. How long ago was that?
Oh, it had to have been a couple years by now.
Yeah. Well, he just put out a new Western.
Oh.
And it's the first time he's delved into the Western genre.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to talk to him about that, about his new book. I haven't read it. Seems that most books anymore, it's getting to the point where it takes me a good year to finish a book. Unless, like, I'm determined.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I did just finish a book in 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it was a so-so book.
Was it Fox and Socks?
That, no, like, I'm only on the second page of that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've heard how it ends, but.
Oh, no, you got a spoiler? Oh, boy.
Spoiler.
But, yeah, so I'm going to talk to him about his new book and
awesome.
See what he's been up to.
Yeah. Well, tell him we said hi, if you haven't already interviewed him.
No, I'm interviewing him tomorrow after work.
Okay, yeah, tell him we said hi.
And so this episode probably won't get out until Monday.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
Also, be sure to check out our website. We've had some new police blotters coming out. Just keep coming on that.
Crime is crime. Criminal's going to criminal it up.
Criminal's going to be criminals, yep.
Criminal going to criminal.
Yep.
And it's gotten to the point where there's two things you can always anticipate will happen.
Okay.
Someone will try to rob a store on Howe Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A car is going to get pulled over off of Route 8, and they're going to have booze and they're going to have Coke.
No.
Okay. Do not take your Coke on Route 8, guys. Come on. What are we doing?
Take your Coke at home, fools.
Please do not do Coke in the cars. All right, sorry.
But yeah, there's a pattern through them.
They're still fun to read.
So you can drive Pepsi, just not Coke.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, bring Pepsi. You know, Cuyahoga Falls hates Coca-Cola for some reason. I don't know what's going on with that.
What if you're just transporting methany? Oh, sorry.
Oh, God. You, Tim.
Yeah, Sprite instead of that, you know.
Make 7. Up yours.
So sorry for that.
Up a yours 7 times.
You crushed it.
Oh, yay.
So are these pop puns or soda puns?
Oh.
We'll RC you later with more of these.
Oh, no.
They just keep squirting.
Oh, no.
Surging everywhere. It's such a jolt.
Mike just ran down on everything.
I'm going to have to go see the Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
So now that we lost everybody, yeah. Okay, what's going on?
Those of you who are still around, send your feedback to us. Get a hold of us on Facebook. If you've given up on Facebook, send them to our email.
Postfreepress@gmail.com.
And rate and review us on Apple and Spotify.
Five stars.
And yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
Woo!
Have any more commiserating on the past 2 weeks after the hour?
Yeah, we did that already. For it's not for public consumption, I'll tell you that much. because there's not a lot of
Welcome to the United States of Anal Musk.
Musky.
Yeah, yeah, we're all gonna die. That's fun. Oh, look at that, Mike.
Nice.
Mike's showing off his our new star thing. So we're watching. I was telling you that we were watching Harry Potter, and he's got this new star projector thing. So
now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So just add some Bow Chicka Wow Wow music, you might be in trouble.
It's a little weird to go from literally Harry Potter to brown stars. Oh, but yeah. For our listeners, and I know this is a tough time right now. We're all feeling it. We'll try to bring some laughter into your life. Yeah, we got to stay strong. We have to laugh and we have to stick together.
Like butt cheeks. Sometimes shit comes between you, but you still stay together.
He actually said that to me when we were dating. And
oh, no.
It was so romantic. Yeah. And I married him.
Kind of
kind of romantic, right? He's like, we're like butt cheeks. Some shit might come to between us, but we'll always stick together. And that was when I knew I was going to marry him, guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. You signed up for it from the beginning.
I sure did.
Oh, she knew. No, she knew. She was like, oh, fuck.
She was all in.
She was like, oh, yes. Okay.
That's my guy right there.
That's the one thing I've been missing all my life.
But even more shocking news, the next city council ballot was released. On Wednesday was the deadline for people to file to be on the ballot and for independents to file. And yeah, we have a
uncontested ticket.
Contested, yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Which is odd.
Yay.
Yay. But shocking. Like, it just feels weird. I mean, I believe in good competition. I mean, I feel like competition is good. And I feel like we need to have. Of course, I love every single city council person there, and I'm not mad about it, but I also understand that there needs to be a little bit of competition. I don't know what's going on with that.
It's surprising that no one applied for any.
Yeah. I mean, I would back every single person there personally. I mean, that would be who I would back. But yeah, a little bit of competition. It just seems odd.
And so, yeah, we have city council and the mayor. No one tried to run against our mayor.
So, yeah, it's weird.
Did anybody know what the cost, like actual cost, and how much would somebody, it would cost somebody to run for city council successfully to challenge a Democrat? What do you think that would be? Anybody have an idea?
That's a great question.
Because that would be a decision that a lot of people would have to make. Do I have a chance? Number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, how much would it cost me to get there?
You have to fundraise.
And then, that too. But yeah, also, you probably have to chip in some of your own money.
They're paying for their signs. You maybe, if you don't fundraise, if you want to get out signs and things like that.
It's also a huge time constraint. You have to walk around. You have to walk all the neighborhoods and for months and talk to everybody. And
that's a difficult thing for a lot of the people because, majority of the council members have full-time day jobs.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very difficult to commit that time and you know, I'm going to say energy, but, you know, just to do the job in general, you know, so.
Yeah, but people have done it in the past.
People, people still do. I mean,
what happened this time around?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Such a strong slate.
We got really good people. I mean, we do have really good people running or now on the council. I think they do a great job. I mean, maybe that's bias. I'm sure it is. But I think maybe that's a factor of they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, but still, the Republicans and even independents, you know, should have been able to put up a candidate or two.
Somebody.
You know?
Somebody.
I mean.
Give it some kind of competition. I mean, I think competition is good. Obviously, we don't want to have, like, mean competition, but some kind of friendly competition of ideas is a good thing.
You're going to have differences of opinion and different ways to get to the same goal. Everybody wants the city to do well. It just they deem how they see their view different than what the current administration is. But you all come to the consensus that we're here for the betterment of the city and for the citizens that are in it. But to not have any, was it a lack of organization? Was it a lack of communication or what? You know, it's just to not have, you know, I'm not going to say specifically the Republican Party, you know, because, you know, independents are independents, but to not have the backing of the Republican Party to put anybody up on the ballot is just odd.
It is.
You know, whether you want to put the money forth or you want to do this or that, or whether you want to campaign for that person or not, to not put anybody up on the ticket is just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not anything the Democrats did. Can we squash that right now? There wasn't any kind of squashing of candidates or anything like that. It's just
coincidental.
Yeah. We just had one of those years that maybe somebody just doesn't want to put their name out there. I don't know.
Yeah, but has that ever happened? And I can't think of it.
I've been here. Like
none.
I don't remember ever that ever happening.
I mean, sure, I know there's been
races
some
here and there. Sometimes there's not contested.
Yeah, sometimes you have that uncontested, but
I think we had almost a full ticket, right? I mean, who wasn't?
Mary was the only one that didn't run because she still has a couple years.
Yeah, she has a couple years. Everybody else was up for election, right?
Yeah, and well, I mean, you got Jerry stepping down, but we have somebody. Yeah. We have someone else, you know, stepping in on the ballot.
Yes. Yeah. And Jerry, thank you for Jerry has done so much.
24 years.
Yeah, we need to do something to thank him for his service. That's a long time.
Yeah, that would be. I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Air five. We give him an air five.
And I do love my air fives. I really do.
High five.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fantastic to kind of, you know, dedicate your life for so long. Yeah. Yeah. So we thank him for all of his service. And then Mika, I think she's stepping down. She's done, how many terms did she do? She's did quite a bit. Two or three?
I want to say two for sure. I don't know if she's done three. I can't remember.
It's been not sure either.
Three, but, you know, I just kind of want to thank her for what she's done too. I mean, that's, you know, and we have Nikki, she's now coming in and
Nikki Cibula.
Mm-hmm. So.
Which we know. We know.
We know her. We know. I know her. I know her.
It's like Santa.
She's fantastic. I mean, we were talking and joking about
she's
it.
Funny. She's.
She's a principal at. Yes. You know.
It's inner city Canton school. I can't remember which one though.
Yeah. But, yeah. So I mean, she's got some skills, and I'm excited to see what she will do. I'm not. I personally am not mad, but I also understand the need for competition. So. Republicans, come on.
Well, and again, it falls. I think part of that falls into, you know, in a year, are we going to have people complaining about who's on council? And it's like,
yeah, you will
do anything. You didn't step up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you run?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Because people want to be the armchair quarterbacks and say, you know, well, always. They just want to bitch and complain and whatnot, but they don't actively want to do anything, even. As simple as just voting, you know, or going. I mean, not saying that they got to go out and run, but just fucking vote. You know, you have no skin in the game if you're not putting your name out there. You know, not putting your ballot in. Fuck off.
We'll be in good hands with the Democrats.
Anybody can complain about anything for any reason. It doesn't matter if it's a legitimate complaint or not. Everyone can complain. A lot of people do, particularly online. So
I'm really good at complaining. It's my special skill. You are muted, which is great.
I don't like that. I just see What'd you don't say, believe Steve? It?
Thank you. No. Oh, gosh. All right. Oh, what else is going on, Bart?
So back in October, the city received the 2024 Champion of the River Award for its commitment to the Cuyahoga River, its sustainable practices, environmental stewardship, and innovative initiatives. So this week's council meeting, Jennifer Greaser, Director of Natural Resources for the Cleveland Metro Parks, came and spoke and presented the award and came to thank us for working down the areas of concern along the river. It had collectively, there had been 10 areas of concern, and that has gone down to 4, of which includes the Gorge Dam, which is kind of at a standstill right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if that is one of the 4 and we were currently working on that.
That's good. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something to be very proud of.
And not going to say it. Until the EPA gets disbanded.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it needed
yep.
Speaking of meetings, there was a meeting about State Road this past week and nothing was said about Bailey Road.
Really?
They focused on State Road the whole time, even though it was a meeting about State and Bailey.
Are you talking about the people that came in and wanted to discuss things?
No, or the people who were discussing. I guess they didn't say anything about Bailey. A lot of people complaining about, you know, changing states to a 2-lane road.
Yeah.
It's like, it can never work. It'll never work. And the problem is, there are cities where it's been done and it worked.
Is it 2-lane with a turn lane? I mean, honestly, I haven't looked at the
plans myself. Yeah, the center myself. Turn lane, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the reason for it? Is it to get more sidewalk? I mean, what is the
sidewalk
purpose
and
of
parking,
it?
Maybe?
Yeah. More parking. And
and to slow traffic, I think, was another reason to slow traffic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's only 25, but people do fucking 40.
Yeah. And they've had some, accidents there. So,
yeah, they have had some really bad accidents there.
For a lot of people, any type of change to something they're familiar with is scary and dangerous. And then maybe this is the reaction everyone's having.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fair to question it. It's fine. I mean, I'm okay with people that want to question it because it is going to cost a lot of money. But I'm for it. I mean, why not? Let's try it.
Well, the other people's view is that we should spend this money on fixing our streets that we already have, because this is street money. We should put the street money elsewhere. I mean, there's a counter argument for all the stuff that we're saying. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. If you say the studies say it works, then it works. Then, I use State Road, that State Road, part of State Road all the time.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me one bit if it was done a 2-lane with a center lane. Would traffic be a little slower maybe sometimes? But I've never been on State Road ever and seen like a traffic jam.
Yeah, me either.
At least down this way, maybe like farther up by, Steele's Corner and stuff. Sure. But not down by us.
Not down here. I think that if it's even if the sole purpose of it is to try to stop some of these accidents, I think it's a good thing.
They're talking about all of State Road all the way down to like Marks and all the way down to.
Well, I think it was Portage down to the bridge, to High Bridge.
Okay. So, all right. It's only part of the line. Okay. So the part of State Road that isn't particularly busy usually.
Yeah, I think they're talking about South State Road,
Okay.
Which that was defined sense. As Portage Trail down. So
I'd be down for three lanes.
It is 3 lanes most of the way after Graham Road, right? Anyway, it goes down to.
Yeah.
2 lanes and then some.
It goes to 2 lanes. You do have some turns. Yeah. But for the most part, it's 2 lanes.
It's 2 lane. Yeah.
And even that was weird. Like for the longest time, you go way out there when it's Tacker and Cleveland Road, it was, 45 and they just dropped it back down to, I think it's 35 now. Mm. But it's weird because I catch myself still doing 45, and there's like a small stretch. And
not
like,
very busy.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And there, and I think it could work fine. People are just afraid of the change.
Yeah.
And I get some of the business owners, it didn't seem like there was many of them there that meeting, but some of the business owners were saying, how is this going to affect, the businesses and like people trying to get shipments in and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it could.
And the initial construction, how long will it take? Maybe that'll affect their business in the short term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if let's say I barely make even every month, and all of a sudden there's construction, it could put me under
that's what they were crying about on the Howe Avenue, 3 years ago when they were redoing Howe Avenue.
Yeah. And they made arrangements, you know, to open certain things for the Christmas season or, you know, the holiday season. Yeah. And they made different ways around it. And it worked. A little bit of a headache, but it worked. And people learned the other ways and the alternate routes to get there. I did see a letter from Leopold Tire, that they were complaining, you know, that he gets with his deliveries and such. And I'm like, well, as a truck driver, you know, where that location is, if it were three lane, you can still make deliveries there.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing too is they had public meetings and they had surveys. And based on what the survey results, what I saw, it looks like that's, you know, where some of their decisions are coming from what people say they wanted. Now, some people might not like that and still complain about it, but if you did the survey,
everybody.
Yeah.
I remember all those surveys coming out.
Yeah.
I filled those out.
I answered. Yeah. I filled it out. I don't really have a vested interest, you know, as much because I don't live in that ward or, you know, over there, but I still answered it. I still use State Road, right. You know?
Yeah. And then they talked about like combining some of those, the parking, like a shared parking thing, to make it easier to get to places, you know, when you stop. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at some of that. I didn't see all of it, but
I think that's parking the biggest is a thing. Big I mean, problem.
Parking is a huge problem. I mean, mm-hmm. besides the fact there's so much different architecture and stuff along that route,
right.
There's nothing really that ties anything together. If you took on a project like that and went from, you know, Portage down to the bridge, you know, and were able to kind of unify that look, that would help a lot.
I think so
you know,
too.
And to create more parking would be awesome. You know, because
a constant aesthetic theme, new sidewalks, new trees, new shrubbery from there all the way down, new bus stops, all that stuff. It would definitely, you're right, it would unify.
And look all maybe better crossings, you know, down where some of those accidents have happened. It also control your traffic flow so you could slow your traffic down so you're not having possibly as many incidents, you know, along where there's problem areas.
And you know those bike lanes, thinking about bike lanes, all the people in the scooters could use the bike lanes.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
If they need it.
Yes.
But, you know, if they're going to redo with all the sidewalks,
they're going to redo the sidewalks. Nice.
They should,
you know,
need
which
but
takes
then
care of that problem also.
Emergency, you know, when people don't plow or de-ice or whatever their sidewalks, then the bike lanes will be taken care of by the city. So they still have
access to that.
The safe method.
Yeah. And I agree that, you know,
they're going to get rid of it because of DEI.
I mean, with other areas of street repair that need to be done, I agree. People are going to complain about that also. But people already complain, you know, that, oh, you're not getting my street or not enough is getting done. It's like, well, you do only have a limited amount that you can spend. And we do a lot of stuff in-house. As far as street repairs, you know, we don't have to contract that out. So we're saving a shit ton of money. So we're able to do more with the money that we have. But, you know, a project like this, it's going to have to be outsourced. You know, we can't do all of that in-house. Yeah, we don't have the manpower. We don't have the resources to do it. But you still would be able to use the funding for the street repair elsewhere. You know, that money is still earmarked for street repair.
And a lot of people were, another thing I saw complaints about, all the money that's going to be spent to redo all the boardwalks downtown and during around Front Street. Have we spent enough money on Front Street? We need to fix your roads and their streets. That's all I hear.
It's a different bucket.
But you know, on the other hand, everyone's complaining about how they've been broken for 2 or 3 years and what the hell we've been doing. And then they see the actual cost of what it's going to cost, which by the way, it's already been paid. It's already been signed the contracts and it's going forward, the construction project. That's what it costs. You have to rebuild a lot of the platforms that go into the riverbed.
Yeah. All the foundations and all the footings.
Yes, because it's all rotten. They got to redo it from scratch. That's why it costs so much.
Fuck, I think when they built a lot of that stuff was when, right after I had moved here, when I was, what,
it's like what,
six or seven?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was
40, 50 years old?
80. Yeah, it was like 82, 83. Something like that when I moved here.
I think by now the river's probably eaten away a lot of that stuff, and it's time to the warranty's up. If you really want a boardwalk there, that's what's going to cost to fix it.
Yes, it's you're basically more than rebuilding the new one. You're also removing the existing.
Yes,
you know that's the problem.
And it's going to be bigger.
Hauling it away,
bigger and nicer.
Rebuilding it with new footers and everything from scratch.
Yeah. Granted, it'll be a little easier, and not the water level's a little lower.
Yes,
but you know. Still contending with faster moving water.
You know, the plan, it Well, it's going to be very nice, and it's probably going to bring in a ton of visitors and more money downtown.
Yeah, because
which is all going to go to everybody.
Yeah. There's only a few places you can still visit the river down there if you open up access to it all over, and the beauty of it.
Yeah,
that's a big draw for sure. Bring your date, walk around with an ice cream, have a beer, bring it to walk around with it, you know?
Yeah. Lieutenant Dan brought you ice cream. Ice cream, Lieutenant Dan.
Or you can go to Pav's, you can have liquor in your ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking.
Yeah, but you can't take it on the boardwalk. It's a waterway.
Is that true?
Yeah. Hmm. You weren't allowed to take open containers on the boardwalk because it was a waterway.
Because they don't want anybody floating in the river.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, no, you can't have alcohol on open waterways.
Why?
But I can smoke my weed.
Do a little gummy.
Yeah.
Gummy bear. The 500 star of death gummy bear.
Yeah. No, that's, I don't want to go on a spaceship ride.
I do.
I've been on spaceship rides and they're scary.
They are very
scary. Clutching the grass, hoping you keep yourself.
Oh, no, I've been high enough that I felt like I threw up for 4 hours.
Somebody
made that. Yeah, a huge cake. It
wasn't cake.
Only had three pieces of cake.
Oh, no, it was focaccia.
Focaccia
bread. Giant thing. And it was like super strong. Oh, you should be careful. And then,
but it's so good. I'm good.
I don't feel anything.
Oh, no, I felt something.
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not a fun ride. Even when you think you're ready for the ride and you're used to the ride, this is a good kind of ride.
Not a good ride.
No. We're going on a trip on a magic rocket ship. Yeah. Loaded focaccia bread.
Mm-mm. That's good. That was a good song.
So the next topic, perfect segue from drugs to school.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yay, yeah. Pharmacy Yay. High. Wait, what?
So this happened a few weeks ago. The school, new school building, they are talking about having people sponsor different parts of the school anywhere between $200 and $500,000.
What do we get for doing that?
I mean, you don't mind just spending $500,000.
Let me check my wallet real quick.
We could all chip in and get a BioFalls free press brick or something.
Is it a brick? So, that's what I was wondering. Can we get a brick for it?
So it looks like some of the higher profile sponsorships in the 100,000 to 250,000 range.
I'm sorry, what? For 250,000
for a 10-year naming right. They're looking for sponsorships for the stadium, the football field, gymnasium court, performing arts auditorium.
I guess the auditorium is going to be a big one.
Their 8-lane stadium track.
Oh, that's a big track. Okay.
That is a big track.
Yeah, they need a lot of money.
I think we're out of there. I don't think the Falls Free Press has that kind of. Well, how much money do we check in our bank account? Let's look again. Nothing.
$0.02.
Zero.
I mean, we can buy a brick for a couple $100. That's about it.
I would buy a brick.
They're having a they'll have a 2-story cafeteria. What?
Fancy.
Yeah.
Well, I think they had because it was middle and high school. That's a common area. So I think they were going to split.
Separate them.
Separate who's where, I think. Could be wrong.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited about the whole thing. I love watching.
I think the library and the cafeteria were common areas between the two buildings.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Bart, are they only looking for, the high spenders, or are they looking?
They have a bronze level.
Okay.
And, I don't want to change the page. I want you to zoom in.
Change the page. Change the page.
Oh, we're struggling today.
For $200, anywhere between $200 and $4,999, you can get a name plaque on the auditorium and the black box seat. Or a scoreboard advertisement.
Scoreboard.
Ooh, scoreboard. Nah. Scoreboard.
No, we don't want a scoreboard.
We want a brick.
Oh, well, for the Falls Free Press, maybe.
Yeah.
I want a seat.
I vote auditorium.
Give me a seat. I want a seat in the auditorium.
So for anywhere, the silver package is anywhere between $5,000 and
$50,000.
Which you get scoreboard advertisement opportunities. Performing Arts Center ticket office name, the stadium plaza, courtyard, classroom name, auditorium stage, or the press box?
They have a press box?
Apparently.
They did the old one.
That's where we need to be.
The old Clifford Stadium.
Ooh, yeah. Anywhere between 50,000 and 100,000, you can get your name on the weight room.
Ooh.
Okay, we're out of that.
That doesn't seem like a good payout.
Yeah.
Or the makerspace, the stadium scoreboard.
Scoreboard.
Name on the middle school and auxiliary gymnasiums. And the, you know, top tier package is some of the stuff that I just said before.
Okay, we just want a brick. Really, that's all we want. That's the money we can afford.
We'll kick in $50.
Yeah.
Brick you.
That's great. I hope that they get a lot of sponsors because I know it takes a lot of money for a school to run.
Okay. For a theater seat plaque, you get $200 per seat. So that's just like on one particular seat. The auditorium has 1,400 seats and you can put your name on the back of a seat. It doesn't necessarily have to be your name, I'm going to say, even though that doesn't say that here. So think of the best name you want to put on that back of that seat.
Nice. Fuck Trump.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Richard Gazinia.
There's an idea.
No.
Huge ass. I think we could do a false free press plaque. That'd be awesome.
CD McSeat face.
Oh, God. See, there. That's why, you know.
Blow it out your brass.
What, can we post that link in the, on the False Free Press page?
Yeah. Oh, it's in my history, so I'll share it. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. I think I would like to donate 200.
Gilroy.
To Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bodie McBooty.
Booty McBootface.
Oh, gosh. Smell.
Okay, next topic.
Moving on. Yes.
So, finally.
That would be funny on a G. People would be trying to spell the Z. It would be fun.
Smell here. With an arrow.
See more butts.
Yes.
Dug deeply.
That'd be totally worth $200 just to have that on there.
All four of us need to donate $200.
No, you need, that's what you put that in the stadium, in the bleachers, you know, see more butts.
Oh, gosh.
So finally, also a perfect segue. This is the 5th annual Cogafog Neighbor Week.
Does that mean I get to throw things at Kathy?
Yay!
It happens to coincide with Random Acts of Kindness Week.
Oh, I'm we need that.
Throwing things at Kathy. You nice see shit things. In your yard, Kathy? That's just me being nice and sharing.
Kathy, we're going to share nice things with you.
Okay.
I'll bring Toby over here.
We'll give you some fertilizer.
He'll share some nice things. Yes.
Mike takes the weeds out of his yard and puts them in your yard while you're sleeping.
Yes. Yes. That's what I do.
Hey, weeds stay green.
Thanks for ruining it.
During a drought. It really is an act of kindness.
What were you going to do? Oh, no, I remember.
I was going to steal all our signs. Yeah.
Steal all our signs and put them in our yard. See if he notices.
I was going to put them in our yard and then be like, hey, look at all the signs we got. Like, what the hell?
That would have been funny.
I'm too lazy for that, though.
Yeah, that would have caused. Yeah.
So residents are encouraged to spread positivity through the neighborhood. I misspelled that, and I feel like it was still worked.
Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Neighborhood. Nice.
Bruh. Neighborhood.
Neighborhood. Bruh.
Bruh.
You can also share your favorite recipes to help connect and build community through cooking.
Oh, I like that.
So on the city's website, they have a link where you can take the Good Neighbor Pledge, you can submit acts of kindness, download different recipe cards, and just a whole bunch of different stuff.
I fertilized Kathy's yard.
That's what she said.
Oh, gosh.
Fresh manure.
In all seriousness, I think that this is stuff we really need to focus on. We need to be kind to our neighbors. We need to be kind to one another. We're all going through a living hell right now. So, yeah, a little kindness is good. Share some recipes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe how to can your own food, bake your own bread.
How to saw off a shotgun so you can get the widest blast range.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need any info on that.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
I mean, I'm just, what?
But it just makes it so you can't miss up close. That's all it means. And you can shoot.
Gotcha. I need that because
I'm more interested at sub-minute of angle accuracy.
We could have two. One with like a regular barrel, one up close barrel.
are we talking about shooting pigeons?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Pigeons, sure.
Yeah.
Or targets. Just targets.
Shooting targets. Okay, guys, guess what time it is?
Bart's Arts.
Oh, that's good. That's the best one yet. Good job, guys.
So auditions for Antics Happily Ever After at the Quirk Center is happening this Tuesday and Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30, and next Saturday, February 15th, from 10 to 12:30. Show will be performed at the end of April. So if you want to take part in the show and audition,
yeah,
this is the week to do it.
Is this a musical or a play? Do you know anything about Happily Ever After? I feel like it's a real nice fantasy that we're having right now. Hey, Mike, did I ever tell you when I was in high school and I took this
theater? No, I've never heard this story.
No, have you guys heard this story?
Just say, yes, you've heard it.
It is not a musical. It is just a play.
Cool. All right.
And other than that, the flyer says nothing about what the musical is. What the play is.
I'm assuming they're going to live happily ever after.
Assume so.
Man, don't we all want that right now? We need some escapisms.
It looks like the play is being directed by Liz Hickman Mirza. And I don't know who that person is, but yeah, Antic always does really good shows. So
that's awesome.
And if you're interested in learning more about acting, the Summit Arts Collective Improv Club for kids ages 8 to 12 will meet Sunday, February 23rd, 3:30 to 5 at St. John's Episcopal Church. They'll play improv games, develop acting skills, and it'll help kids build confidence in a supportive, no-pressure environment. No experience necessary whatsoever, and it costs to get in, but they just suggest $1.
Oh, wow. I think that's a great thing for kids to be able to express their feelings through improv and be able to learn that skill, because really, honestly, that does help build them confidence and be able to do better in their life. I think that's a great thing. That's good.
Children's performer, Mr. Jeff Clem, was recently honored with the World Entertainment Award for Best Children's Album, which was then followed by him attending the Grammys last weekend as an officially inducted member of the Recording Academy.
Wow. All right. Congratulations. That's great. Who is Jeff Clem?
Mr. Jeff has performed, I think he's got 2 or 3 albums out by now.
Okay.
But his most famous one that I've heard more times than I ever need to is Loud in the Library.
Oh, boy.
I've heard that local?
Too many times.
Yeah, he's from the Falls.
Wow.
Well, he's in the Falls. Yeah.
Oh, that is, I mean, I don't have any young kids now, so I'm not all up into the the young, you know, the children's performers, but that is amazing.
But he's been playing music for a long time. He used to be a big rock, and then now he does children's music.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'll have to look him up. I really don't know anything about him. That's great.
And finally, the Akron Renaissance Festival, first time ever, is happening at the Green Dragon Inn on East Market Street in Akron.
Love the Green Dragon Inn.
Yes.
I have never been
I've there. Never heard of it.
Really?
Never been there.
We have gone there several times. It's a bar where you can, you know, go in and sit down, and then they have thousands of games that you can play, like board games that you can get. And it's like, it's decorated like a castle kind of thing. So it's just a really cool vibe, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's fantastic. Right. We went several weeks ago where we had one of our friends' birthday there, and we did some kind of like gift exchange or whatever for the holidays too. And we just hung out around there and played. We did like Harry Potter trivia or something like that. Like, there's a bunch of stuff you can do. It's just super fun. So go on, Bart. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I've never been there. It sounds really interesting. I know a lot of people that have gone and, you know.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The Akron Renaissance Festival they're holding is March 7th through the 9th. They will host this first mini Ren Fair with live music and performances, sword fighting, live D&D sessions. And I don't know if that's playing D&D, you know, on tabletop or literally LARPing. I don't know.
It's not a big place, so that's...
No. They'll have video game tournaments. There's a tattoo artist. Cosplay, and more vendors than you can shake a turkey leg at while hobbling around on a three-legged dragon.
When is this again?
March 7th through the 9th.
All right. Right around the corner. Springtime is coming.
Yeah.
February is a short month.
I guess there's even, like, each day is a theme day. Because, like, at Ren Fairs, usually there's a theme weekend. So they have a Viking day, a pirate day, and a fantasy day.
Oh, wow.
Fantasy days, my cup of tea. Mike, where's your wings? Get them on. He left. Oh my god. He's like, fuck this shit. Don't tell her anymore.
tickets are $10 a day or $25 to come for the entire weekend.
I am wondering if they're going to be overtaking. Like, there's a place down, like it's upstairs. There's a place down where they actually can sell, you can buy board games and things like that. I'm wondering if they're going to work together because it's such a small area.
Oh, I'm sure they'd have to.
Yeah, that's super fun. I love that.
So we want to thank the listeners for joining us this week. Thank you, Jim, for speaking with me tomorrow or today or yesterday. It can happen at any time because you're listening now.
Ooh, time.
Timey-wimey. So stick around for that interview right after this. And also, something that I did not mention at the beginning because I completely forgot, I'm going to add another song from Tyler, Yohei.
Yes, awesome. Okay.
And you will have already heard a sample of it earlier in the show, but I will include that song at the end of the show after this interview.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
So remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, potential articles, potential anything. Mm-hmm. What can we do? What can you do? Tell us at email us at
fallsfreepress@gmail.com.
Also, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
5 stars.
If you don't want to rate and review us, tell your friends.
Yeah.
If you hate us, tell your enemies.
Tell your enemies. Tell them to listen.
If you're different, just tell anybody.
Let's tell them.
Get on the bus and tell everybody on the bus start listening to us.
Absolutely. Don't worry about the weird looks that you get.
Torture
just do it.
All your friends and strangers with us.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
For now, we'll say goodbye. And please come back next time.
Bye. Bye.
Later.
This week, I have on the show somebody return interviewee, Jim Woods, local author of Bite the Bullet, and also now of Standoff at Sundown, his first Western. How you doing, Jim?
I'm great, Bart. Thanks so much for having me.
So I mentioned two of the books. You've released four books since we last interviewed you.
Yeah, three more. So I have a couple follow-ups to Bite the Bullet. Like a Bad Memory would be book number two. And then Pull the Trigger is book number three. And I kind of have my own little Chicago crime trilogy there. And I thought, hey, let's try something new. Let's write a Western. So Standoff at Sundown is book number one in my Western series.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that's about?
Yeah, sure. Standoff at Sundown is basically a man who wants to make a difference, but he's really, really hesitant. His name is Jake McCall, and there's this new gang that came into town, and they're causing all this trouble, and they end up injuring the current sheriff, and nobody is basically in charge, and this gang is just terrorizing the city. And I thought, you know, I really love this idea for a Western. Let's explore this. And then it's such an adventure. I mean, honestly, Bart, I was working on the second one today, and I'm like, I can go so many directions. Like, it's still kind of being written, but in this first book, it's just a fun, uplifting adventure that it has a few twists and turns, but it also, it hits all those check marks. If you have a Western, you want to hit all those check marks.
Now, is this a historical Western, or is it set in the current day?
Historical.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was honestly, that was my biggest challenge, Bart, because my other books were like, I specifically set them in like, let's make them right before smartphones. So like 2007, 2006, I wanted to avoid the whole smartphone thing where, you know, all the apps can basically do anything and everything. And I thought that was my mindset there. But then I thought, you know what? It'd be really nice to not have cell phones. It'd be really nice to, like, you know, go to the roots and not have to worry about, you know, all the legal ramifications of probable cause and all those things. And I thought, ooh, a Western. I love Westerns. Let's try that. And little did I know, because I quickly started to learn that I needed to brush up on my history and how much research really had to be done to figure out, you know, what time frame do I want? What exists? I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, Bart, just the other day, I was like, did they have wedding rings in the Old West? Because I wasn't sure. And I'm like, you know, movies and shows and books.
Well, that's like, It's one thing if you're looking at like the version of Wagon Train. But if you're actually looking at that particular, you know, decade.
Right.
So many other things exist. It's not just the quote unquote, you know, travelers versus the native people.
Right. And I also set this in Northern Colorado, which is a totally different kind of space, north of Denver, kind of on the border with Wyoming. And I thought, ooh, this is interesting. Let's put it out there, you know, far out west. And I really was aiming for 1871 was kind of my time frame. But as you can imagine, that changed a few times. And I just find myself Googling and researching so much. It's like, were trains out there then? You know, did dynamite exist? All these questions that I'm kind of like learning as I go, you know?
Well, and you're talking about it and it involves, you know, a gang and whatnot. It sounds very similar to the Malone books in the fact that you're, you have somebody dealing with, you know, this excursion of this group of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought that a few times, Bart, because I thought, you know what? Let's be honest. A lot of crime is really the same. It just might have some different aesthetics. And I thought, you know, whether it's cattle rustling or dealing, you know, heroin, it's a lot of things haven't changed that much. And I kind of came up against that a few times. And I was like, hey, well, you know what? Someone's probably funding this gang, or the gang is, you know, after money or some kind of, you know, motivation. And it's really similar in a lot of ways in that same kind of concept. And it was kind of eye-opening, Bart. The more I kind of looked back, I was like, we haven't really evolved that much as a human species, truly. A lot of the same motivations. It still comes down to kind of that, you know, good guys and bad guys to an extent. The cops and robbers. It's very, very similar in that way.
It's just the implements that they use.
Yeah. Instead of a car, it's a horse. Instead of a, you know, a motorcycle, it might be a wagon. You know, yeah, I completely agree.
So why did you decide, again, like, why did you decide to go with Western after having three books with Ryan Malone?
Yeah, I wanted to change. I wanted to branch out from being in just the inner city streets of Chicago. And I thought, well, there's something inherently peaceful about a Western. There's something about riding off into the sunset. There's something about the horses and the nature. It's just, it has almost a pleasing quality to me. And I've just been watching more and more Westerns at night and just immersing myself really in the genre. And also, Bart, I grew up in the 90s where it was like every Saturday night, Walker Texas Ranger was on.
Oh, yeah.
And I found myself like, this is probably a year ago, but, you know, they had like one of those marathon sessions and I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this really influenced me, you know. And I, even like The Mandalorian was an influence, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like,
yeah.
The Man with No Name and Star Wars was absolutely an influence for me. And I just kind of was like, you know what? And I told my son who's 12 now, I said, Westerns are kind of everywhere. Like you can't, like even my Ryan Malone series, you could frame it in a, you know, modern Western kind of thing if you really wanted to. It's just, if you wanted to put that perspective on it, you could say it. But, you know, with this book, Standoff at Sundown, I just said, let's go 100% Western, not just, you know, having some of the characteristics.
Well, yeah, there was, it's been a few years now, there was a prequel mm-hmm. to Walker that was set in Texas in late 1800s. And it only got one season. And I kept thinking, it's like, these really are coming back. But then it got canceled, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think there's something that it just draws us in. I think there's something really cool about it. And I mean, especially if you're in the hustle and bustle with city and a lot of screens and technology, going back to our roots, it just feels kind of like, you know, like going for a walk outside. It's very soothing.
Well, I think that's part of why, like, horror fans, they like the older horror movies. Mm-hmm. Because it's back before we had cell phones mm-hmm. where you could just call for help. You know, there was all, like you said, all those things that nowadays are just easy to connect with everybody. Whereas before, you know, you car broke down, you were literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, Bart. I know you and I both can relate where it's like, we remember those days before cell phones, but now, I mean, best case scenario, maybe you borrow a neighbor's phone, maybe there's a pay phone nearby, but yeah, now it's like, you can see where your kids are, you know, and we're never really alone. We're kind of being tracked and followed and all those things, right? We're never unplugged. So to go kind of back to nature. And I mean, I thought about like, hey, maybe I can go on a little mini trip to Denver and go visit Colorado and really embrace my roots. I haven't done that yet, but you know, it's a little more difficult now with our daily lives to just escape and,
yeah.
You know, go away and ride the horses, but you can still go outside, go to the park. You can go for a walk on the sidewalks and, you know, get some fresh air. I mean, half the time, Bart, when I see you, it's because I've walked over to the library. And it's nice to kind of just revisit going outside for a little bit. And I think there's something inherently in there where it's like nature is the ultimate landscape for a good story. I mean, I love, you know, parking decks and crime stories and all of that, but it's interesting. I mean, in some ways, I mean, let's be honest, I'm trading nature in a saloon as the backdrop instead of a, you know, an airport or something like that.
Yeah. So going along actually that same path, what is your writing process when you're working on these? You said you currently working on the sequel to this.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. Thank you so much. Currently I like to work on two books at once. And I really like the momentum aspect. It's what I did with the last two books of my Ryan Malone trilogy so far, where I have one in editing and one in drafting. And I love that because I'm not locking myself in completely. I can kind of stay a step or two ahead of the game. If a great, amazing idea comes up, and in this example would be like book three, I can make sure it fits with book two.
Yeah.
And it's just giving me so much momentum because I'm also like, I'm not betting the house on any one book. I'm kind of thinking, hey, let's go ahead and work on this next book. Hey, you've got more kind of in progress. And I really like to cast my characters. I like to go through and know who they are. You know, I'm thinking weaknesses and strengths. I go pretty deep. I honestly probably think more like a movie director than just a typical writer in some ways there. And I'll dig pretty deep. I'll pull out all the details about the guns and, you know, locations, and maybe even draw a map or two. And I drag and drop those photos into Scrivener, which is a great writing tool for me. And I like to just kind of play there. I do unplug a lot. Like I use this crazy tool called an Alpha Smart Neo. It's like basically a keyboard with a tiny little screen. And it was, you know, used back in the day where kids used them in like elementary schools for typing. And I have a few of them. I'm literally looking over at one right now, Bart, where it's basically just a keyboard with a little, maybe 2-inch high screen by maybe 6 inches wide. So it's a tiny little screen, and I'll carry that around with me, and I'll stay unplugged. I don't want to like be on the computer more than I have to be. And then I export my files. Like I plug it in on the back of my Neo and it shoots it right out. Like all the text literally just transfers over to Scrivener.
Okay.
And then once I get that, I'll go through it as much as I can, get the proof, which is basically the rough draft for me in many cases, where I like to have a cover pretty much ready to go, a mock-up even. It's not the final, but I love the momentum of holding a proof, a physical book in my hand, and then I'll mark it up with a pencil. I know that's kind of sacrilege to folks that probably work at the library, but
well, no,
I'll mark up the book. It is my book. Right?
Yeah.
And I'll mark it up and I'll put little sticky notes in it and carry it around and mark that up a bit. And then really the next stage is entering in all those changes, fixing things, send it to my editor, get it back from the editor, make more polishing changes, fill in more gaps, make it even better. And then pretty much publishing, which it sounds easier than it is. to an extent there, but yeah, that's pretty much all of it, Bart. Sometimes it might take a little more, like this Western, because it was such a new thing for me, I did go through a couple proofs, and I also tried different sizes. The current book is like 5x8 in size. I also tried the smaller, it's like a 4x6, or maybe I think it's really a 4.5x6, you know, the pocket size.
Okay,
I tried
the more trade paperback.
Yeah, I tried that, but I thought, you know what, I thought, you know what, I think I'll just go with the standard size. And it's definitely something I would like to experiment with in the future more. But, you know, for cost reasons, I was like, you know what, it's almost the same cost. I might as well have the bigger book. And yeah, it's fun to just play around with things and try different things. And I started a hardback of this Western that would be like a large print. That's kind of something in the works down the road where, you know, if someone wants to have the large print, they can have that. And it would be on the literal physical, you know, hardback.
Yeah. And I do think like that the smaller paperback size, you know, like the J.A. Jantz, they're usually really thick, but that small, I see so many people who love Westerns, that's what they carry around.
Yeah, this one, part of me, it wants to just wait and see too. And that's the great thing with self-publishing. I can always kind of go, hey, I'm going to change it up later, and I can do this 5x8 size with one publisher, with one distributor essentially, and do the smaller size with another. And you know, I think it's almost that fun little place to be where you can just experiment with it. And I've done that before where like all my books are available in like ebook, paperback, and hardback. So yeah, I'm definitely open to experimenting with it more. And also too, you know, for me as the writer who's editing and all that, I think I was just like, hey, I like the bigger size for myself, for my own reasons, you know.
Why did you end up deciding to go with the self-publishing route?
Well, Honestly, for me, I always want to self-publish because I want the creative control. And I don't want to wait around for a publisher, frankly. I know I can write books, Bart, and that's really important to me. Like, I can get a lot of work done versus waiting. And I don't really have the patience, to be 100% honest, to go find an agent, which is getting more difficult today. And even if you find an agent, that doesn't mean you have a publisher. And I don't want to, I want to write books. I don't want to just sit around and, you know, do the correspondence, email, getting rejection letters. I can do it myself, and I can kind of control the process. And frankly too, Bart, what if there's a point where you're like, okay, I went through all this work and they still want to change my story, or they don't like the cover, or I don't like the cover, things like that. I mean, I'm almost kind of, I guess, hedging my bets on myself in a way.
Well, when it comes to covers, I saw the cover of your third Malone book, and I'm looking at it today, and like, did you just take a picture of yourself from behind?
No. Oh, that's so funny, though. That's really funny. No. It was actually a photo that I found, and then I worked with a local designer, and my kids were joking with me on that too. And I was like, look, I want to get the same, you know, the same general character for these books. And I just did my best. I guess he looks a little like me, but yeah.
Well, that's it. Like, the first two books don't really show him
right.
on the cover. So suddenly now you have him, and it's like, but I guess we'll swing back to those series. Did that story ever go where you expected it to go when you were writing the first one, like from the first book to the third?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I could definitely add more to it. I could definitely keep going, or I could walk away and not touch it again and be happy with it. And yeah. I think that took a lot of effort, just because I wasn't sure about the whole sequel thing, honestly, Bart. I really didn't want to create a soap opera. I really wanted to have high stakes and, you know, a lot of action, a lot of consequences, a lot of danger. And so writing those other, you know, couple follow-ups to Bite the Bullet, I was like, wow, can I do this? Do I really truly know what I'm doing? And I think I got there. I think I figured it out. And I think I really did get there to where I wanted it to go. There were some definite twists and turns. Pull the Trigger is more of a thriller than Bite the Bullet. Like, it is pretty high octane. The bad guys are closing in kind of thing. And it's funny. We keep learning, Bart. And now I'm like, hey, well, maybe I'll write a thriller one day. You know, that was one of the thoughts I kept having as I was, you know, writing Pull the Trigger. And yeah, it's just so funny. You work on one project and then you're like inspired for another project.
Have you ever considered writing outside of books, like writing for film scripts and stuff like that, or plays?
I have. I think it would just depend on the opportunities. And like, I have a couple friends that are screenwriters. I've thought about that. I think it would just take some real practice, you know, getting used to the different structure. I think it could be fun. I'm not saying no. I've always thought about it. And I really kind of do think like a director when you're casting all your characters and, you know, worrying about wardrobe and those kind of things. I think my only challenge is, like, you know, getting to the level that it is where you really want to be at that more professional level. I think that's my challenge there, Bart, because I feel like I'm learning so much still. Like, I feel like it's just such a process. I mean, I know some great folks, and my question would be, what genre, you know, what kind of, you know, story? That's the other question, because I feel more confident in certain genres than others. Yeah, some are just a little easier, frankly. A horror story, with a creature, it's a little, little different than, say, a rom-com or,
Yeah.
a Western or, there's just so many genres now. And now you can, now I think there's also an expectation with screenplays where you really want to start merging even a couple genres together. And to me, it almost feels like, let me get Algebra 1, 2, and 3 down before I run to calculus.
Yeah. Well, and I think, especially with films, the way so many different genres have kind of just been snubbed by the Oscars, that people are like, we still want to do this, but we have to incorporate all this other stuff so it'll get noticed.
Yeah, I think you're right.
With writing, do you have any concerns about AI stepping in and destroying the more people using AI in it causing problems? Like today, Hoopla, the one library app, sent out an email to people saying, we've realized that people have concerns about some of the AI produced material that they have, which again, it's been on there for over a year now. So I'm glad they finally have concern about that.
No, I am very, very concerned, Bart. I've been pretty outspoken against AI with writing, and I've kind of thumbed my nose at it a little bit because I find firsthand, I do freelance writing as well and writing for clients, and I've lost a lot of work personally. Like, I can confidently say, a lot of folks are opting for free writing. So it is a concern, but also, though, I don't want to play the blame game. I feel like when you play the blame game, you can really have that victim mentality. So I've actually started leveraging AI more in a positive ethical way, if you will, as I've been writing the Westerns, frankly. It's interesting where, you can use AI to write a post for you or a book or chapter or whatever. I'm not doing that, of course, but I am asking AI, hey, I'm in 1871 in the Old West. I'm in Colorado. What's the weather like? What are some common plants? What's the most common tree? Asking it, almost using it like Google. And
Okay.
I found that even I don't know a lot about horses. Yes, I rode a Western. I don't know a ton about horses, right? I found there's this one AI, I can't remember the specific name of it, but it drew me a diagram of a horse.
Oh, wow.
And it was super impressive in a positive way. I'm like, how do I, there's so many terms with horses, but it's hilarious because I don't know them off the top of my head. This is my first Western, and I'm not gonna like my writing style. I'm not gonna write a paragraph or two just about, the horse. That's not what I'm gonna like. I'm about the story, not so much just about the horse, but how the saddle has the buckle underneath the stomach of the horse, and there's so many terms, and I'm like, I tried looking all this up the traditional way on Google Images, search engines, and a lot of it, you're just finding sponsored posts and ads,
Yeah.
and I got some books from the library, and I mean, I love the library. I'm never ever going to stop using it, but there's a time consideration where I can type in a question and find an answer really quickly. And that's one of the great perks with AI. So that example I mentioned earlier about, wedding rings, I wasn't sure. Like, okay, some people used wedding rings in the Old West, but they are often very plain and simple. Gold, yes, it was pretty common, but not all the time. It would just kind of depend on the family. If they didn't have the money for a gold ring, it might be simple. It might be yarn or leather or something like that. So I'm finding all this out myself just by searching and, doing that inquiry with AI. So it's one of those things where I feel like you don't want to become too dependent on any one tool. And I feel that that's the one of my biggest concerns with AI. Like, okay, let's just ask AI for these questions. Let's
Yeah.
stop thinking, But when I feel like I put in, you know, probably, I would guess a few hundred questions, honestly, Bart, truly. Like, I don't total them all up, but I probably put in a, just for the plants, just for the trees, you know, the weather, stuff like that. I probably have queried a couple hundred times. I feel like that's a, like, not too many people are either doing that same kind of queries that I'm doing. And I'm asking about, you know, here's, and I uploaded an image. I found an image I liked. I was like, can you describe this image? Because I don't know that much about, you know, the types of dresses. And I know this is lace, but what's the material this dress is made of? That kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's, when you treat it more like an assistant and you're kind of treating it more like Google on steroids, I don't see any problem with that. But when you're using AI to like write your book or write your chapters, that's not ethical, because, you know, you're passing it off as something you made where you really didn't. I do think it's going to get better and better. I do think that there are going to be more and more and more AI books. And I can tell you firsthand, Bart, it's going to get so good that people won't know the difference. And I think it's going to be an issue. But frankly, we can also choose what we read and what we enjoy. And I mean, a lot of books are ghostwritten, and a lot of authors, I guess the responsibility really just falls on us as readers, and, you know, support what you want and don't support what you don't like. Right. I mean, I think that's where it's really going to come down to. And I know, like, that's a whole nother topic of ghostwriting, but like, I know a lot of people that would get really, really upset, myself included. It'd be like, my favorite author isn't writing those books. I feel cheated, right?
I feel like, yeah, the ghostwriting, at least it's a human sitting down and writing. Like, right, you know, right. Yes, James Patterson's name is on it, and we know he didn't write it, but we know the other person on that cover did write it.
Yeah, assuming they have title credit. That's the catch, too, Bart. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I agree completely. And it's just, I think we need to keep growing. That's what it really boils down to. We need to keep growing and keep learning and trying new things. And that's how we, you know, can just keep expanding our horizons versus, you know, letting the computers do all the work for us.
So another thing that you do on the regular is you have a podcast where you interview authors.
Yes, it's called The Story Builder Show. And it's just so much fun talking with other authors. I like to kind of pull behind the scenes and geek out a little bit. I recently spoke with one of my friends, Gary Ware, who's actually an author, but he does improv training. Ooh. And we chatted about how improv can kind of relate to writing. At least that's how I pulled the direction of the conversation. And it was just such a inspiring chat, because I was like, oh, so maybe I need to try something with improv myself just to get better at like making decisions and responding and dialogue. And, you know, there's so much we can learn, Bart. There's so many areas. And it was just a really great chat. And I've spoken with a few other mentors, Chris Vogler, who wrote The Writer's Journey, which is kind of the modern hero's journey guide. I had a great chat with him, and I love to do it. I don't do as many interviews as I would love to do, but, you know, part of it becomes the time zone thing and, you know, coordination, but it's so much fun. I love talking with other writers. It's just, you can go so deep. You can dive way deeper when you get like two writers just chatting. Like, I feel like almost no topics are off limits, and you can kind of, you know, deep dive.
Well, I know the time issue that I just did four interviews a couple months ago, but it was because they were all at the same location. Mm-hmm. And that had been the first interview that we had posted in over a year. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah, it's getting the time to do it.
Putting it on the calendar is the key. in a couple months, I'm actually interviewing someone who wrote a book on like writing crime stories. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, just I feel like, too, you can just, you know, put it on the books and then you can have that good conversation scheduled and you can just kind of dive deeper together.
Cool. last question here. Who are you currently reading?
Who am I currently reading? I love Donald Westlake. He is one of my favorites. I really like Donald Westlake. I like Max Allen Collins, another crime writer. One of my all-time favorites. I'm kind of diving into first-person stuff, and it's her name is Naimi Moon. NAMIMUN. Naimi Moon. So those three right there I'm reading, and I just picked up Elmore Leonard. I have a copy of the book somewhere here at home, but since I was by the library, so I'll sneak in and get some Elmore Leonard. I have no problems with that. Just I'll have a copy with me, and I have a copy somewhere in at home.
Yeah, there was an author, and I know he was local. I don't remember, but I remember in my days of working the front desk at the door, there was an author who would come in like once every 2 months, and he would get a bunch of travel books. And I know he's a big author in the area. I cannot remember his name for the life of me. But he would get all these travel books. He'd go home, and a month later, he'd have a new book. His publisher would be putting out the new book. And it was just like, I don't know how you do it, but I'm glad that you're at least using the library to do it.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's super incredible. I love that.
So, Jim, where can people find Sundown? Where can people find Standoff at Sundown?
It's on Amazon right now. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Apple Books. It's on Kobo. I know it's on Ingram Spark. So it's pretty much everywhere. and it's available as an ebook. It's available as a paperback. As I mentioned earlier, it's very, very soon. I'll hopefully have the hardback as well. And honestly, Bart, I really, really want to get the second one going here as soon as possible. So, you know, I really want to get that second one out as well.
And are they available at shelf life yet?
Not yet. Not yet. They will be though. Let me take that back. I'm waiting on Ingram Spark for it'll be available through bookshop.org.
Okay.
Where shelf life would get a percentage. But yeah, I definitely want to get them at shelf life as well. But right now it's through bookshop.org, which, you know, that's how Danielle and Shelf Life are kind of connected together. So you can always support your local bookstore through bookshop.org.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thank you for sitting down here with me. And thank you for just being an awesome guy in general.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you, Bart. Truly. Thank you so much.
So hope everyone goes checks out your new book. And if they haven't read the Ryan Malone series, go check out those three.
That's right. And
for now, we'll say goodbye and talk to everyone next time. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Falls Cast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
Do my brain always goes to
That's another one we should watch, Mike.
Muppets. Oh, Muppets. Not that Star Wars.
Going into the cantina.
Yeah, well, I just think about Muppets as I'm thinking.
Do
okay.
Take a doody doo.